if I hadn't eaten so much, I wouldn't have diarrhea now.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Reza. If you are a new listener to this podcast, welcome. With over 40 years of teaching between us, Reza and I will help you improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, sentence inversions, inverting sentences. But before that, we have some listener feedback from Ainoa. What a lovely name. Ainoa, hello. Ainoa says, hi, Reza and Craig. I want to thank you for your great job. Perhaps
Great work.
Yeah, great work would be best, Ainoa.
Yeah.
I've listened to different podcasts, and yours are the best English learning podcasts ever.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Ainoa. They're not only interesting, but also fun. I hear you every morning on my way to work, and I enjoy your stories, examples, and sexy voices.
Can I just say, better than hear, probably better to say listen to. You listen to our incredibly sexy voices.
And sexy voices. Yes. thanks again, and keep on podcasting. Well, we certainly will try to do that, you know, and thank you very much for your feedback. We also have a voice message from Carolina from Chile.
Hello, Craig and Reza. I'm Carolina from Chile. Thank you for your program. I really enjoy listening to you, especially when you speak Spanish. I've just heard your last lesson about the pronunciation of irregular verbs, and I have some comments for you. You said the ship sank, el barco se inundó, but it's not exactly right. It should be el barco se hundió, because sink is... the meaning is hundirse. The Germans sank. Los alemanes inundó. You said, and it should be los alemanes hundieron. And another thing, to found, fundir is not fundir, es fundar. Okay. Anyway, I really like your program, and I would like to ask you. About the use of in spite of and the difference, or maybe it's the same, than the spite of. I really appreciate if you can help me with that. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Carolina, for your message, and thank you for your corrections. I think that was my mistake with fundir. Fundar, I often get those two mixed up. So fundir is melt, isn't it?
Yes.
And fundar is found.
To found. Not to be confused with to find, encontrar.
Yeah.
And I think it was me who got inundirse wrong. That was me, I believe.
So, Carolina, I think you wanted clarification on in spite of and despite, which are interchangeable, aren't they, Reza? And the grammar is the same. Let me give you a couple of examples. We went to the beach in spite of the weather or in spite of the rain. So when it's a noun, it's just a noun. And if it's a verb, it's a gerund. So in spite of...
In spite of winning the championship...
He failed the drug test.
He failed the drug test, yeah, for example.
Yeah. And despite is exactly the same grammar. So despite winning the race or the championship, he was disqualified on a drugs test.
There's no of with despite, Carolina. You said despite plus of. No, it's only despite, but it's in spite of.
Yeah, that's a common mistake to have of with despite. So despite or in spite of, and when it's followed by a verb, it's a gerund, and the grammar's the same with both of those conjunctions.
There is one construction you can use which avoids using a gerund verb, but there's a logic to it. If you say in spite of or despite the fact that. Then you just use, let's call it a normal verb. Well, I should call it a finite verb, like present simple, past simple, present continuous. Let me give you an example. Despite the fact that it was a nice day, we stayed at home. It was a nice day. It was is not ing. That's because I said the fact that.
Despite the fact that it was raining, we still went to the beach. So I hope that's clarified the use of despite and in spite of, Carolina. And thank you again for your lovely voice message. Moving on to sentence inversions, inverting sentences. For example, usually we speak English like this. I've never seen such a beautiful woman. However, if we want to be more dramatic or maybe more literary, we can invert the sentence for greater effect and change I've never seen such a beautiful woman to never have I seen such a beautiful woman.
So you put never at the beginning of the sentence and you've changed the order of the verb. What have you done with the verb?
That's right. I inverted the verb. So I put the verb before. So never have I seen such a beautiful woman.
So you put the auxiliary before the subject. Never have I seen.
Exactly. Instead of I've never seen.
Right.
Okay. Here's another example. As soon as I finished the beer, he bought me another one. This can be inverted to no sooner had I finished the beer than he bought me another one.
Mm-hmm. No sooner plus a verb inverted had I finished the beer plus the word than. No sooner than. And the bit in the middle is a verb which is inverted, right?
Exactly. And I could also use hardly and barely and scarcely. For example, hardly had I finished the beer when he bought me another one. Or, barely had I finished the beer when he bought me another one. Or, scarcely had I finished the beer when he bought me another one.
And they all mean the same thing. They all mean immediately afterwards, right?
Exactly.
The same as no sooner.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, sorry.
Go
ahead. But be careful because no sooner goes with than. And barely, scarcely, and hardly goes with when. Is that what you were going to say?
You took the words out of my mouth, yeah. Many people forget that.
So no sooner da-da-da-da than da-da-da-da. And barely, scarcely, hardly, when. So that's important to remember. Mm-hmm. Here's one with not only. Pepito not only speaks English, but he also speaks Japanese. Not only does Pepito speak English, but he also speaks Japanese.
Does he speak, you said? Not only does he speak.
Yes.
But it's not a question. It's not a question. It looks like the question form because it has auxiliary does.
Right.
But it isn't the question form.
So it's really inverted and changed for emphasis and dramatic effect. Do you think, Reza, it's more in written English than spoken English that we use this?
No, I don't think so. I think it's used in both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's used when you want to be dramatic or emphatic or for political speeches to add emphasis to certain words or ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So as Craig says, you've got to invert the verb, but that means sometimes adding extra words like your example. You said no sooner. No, you didn't. What did you say? You said
sooner had I finished the beer.
No, sorry, the last one.
Scarcely had I finished.
The last one.
Not only does Pepito speak English, but he also speaks Spanish.
Not only does Pepito speak English, does Pepito speak? Well, normally you would say Pepito speaks.
Right.
Pepito speaks English. You wouldn't say Pepito does speak because it's positive. You would say Pepito speaks.
So you add the does for your emphasis.
Yeah. Well, it's the way to invert it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to add an auxiliary verb to invert it. Even though it's not a question.
Here's another example. Reza didn't start shooting until he saw the whites of their eyes. For more effect, we can say, not until he saw the whites of their eyes did Reza start shooting. Or we can also say, only when Reza saw the whites of their eyes did he start shooting. Any other examples?
Yes. What about with little? I tell you what, I'll read a sentence out, mm-hmm. and you see if you can invert the sentence using the word little.
With little, I'll try.
Okay. She little suspected that she would be famous one day.
So I have to use the auxiliary verb. I'm going to use did. So little did she suspect that she would be famous one day.
Exactly. So that's another common inversion, to begin with the word little,
mm-hmm.
meaning not much. She didn't really think she would be famous. Little did she think. And because it's past simple, Craig added the auxiliary did, even though it's a positive sentence.
Right. Let me give you one to try, Reza. We have never been more proud of our podcast.
Never have we been more proud of our podcasts. Is that right?
That's correct. You rarely see such a magnificent performance.
Rarely do you see such a magnificent performance.
Correct. I hadn't eaten a better steak anywhere. Aha.
Ooh.
Let me repeat that. That's a tricky one. I hadn't eaten a better steak anywhere.
Nowhere Ooh. Had I eaten a better steak.
Nowhere had I eaten a better steak. Why does it change to nowhere?
Because, as we talked about a long time ago, I can't remember what podcast it was, with negative meaning not plus any, you can use no, but then you use a positive verb. For example, to say I don't have any books is the same as saying I have no books.
Right. So you only need one negative and
no double negative in English.
No double negative.
So since you said, can you repeat your sentence?
Yes, I said I had not eaten a better steak anywhere. So I have one negative, not. Oh. I had not eaten.
And then the word anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere. So you changed it to nowhere, which is the negative. Nowhere had I eaten.
And I used a positive verb, had I eaten, instead of your negative verb.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's try another one. You shouldn't be late on any account.
On no account should you be late.
Yep. So again, the any changes to no.
Mm-hmm. What about this? You should not forget your wallet under any circumstances.
Under no circumstances should you forget your wallet. Let's try one more. His wife knew little of his serious drinking habit. His wife knew little of his serious drinking habit.
Little did his wife know of his serious drinking habit.
Sounds very formal, doesn't it?
Yeah, that one does, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. What about this one, Craig? Let's move on. This is getting a bit tricky now. Let's use a conditional sentence. Ooh, you ready?
Try me.
Ready? What I want you to do, Craig, is say this sentence with different words, say a meaning, without using if. Okay?
Without using if.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
If I had listened to my teacher, I would have passed the exam.
Had I listened to my teacher, I would have passed the exam.
Oh, yes. Well done. Well done.
Okay, I'm going to throw a first conditional at you.
Okay.
If you require further information, please do not hesitate to contact us.
First conditional. Should you require further information, please do not hesitate to contact us.
Bien.
So, let's just think of a few patterns here then. Yours was a first conditional. So a first conditional is, can you repeat your sentence, please?
If you require further information, please do not hesitate to contact us.
So if plus require, if with the present simple, normally for a first conditional. But in an inverted conditional sentence, you take away if. And in a first conditional, you add the word
should.
Should. Can you say the inverted version?
Should you require further information, please do not hesitate to contact us. Mm-hmm. Here's a second conditional. If you got the job, would you be prepared to move to the US?
Ooh, I think these are the hardest of all. Where are you to get the job? Would you move to the US?
Yep.
Well, we've really pushed the bar up high now, haven't we?
So you said were, but strangely, in a second conditional sentence, you can use were or was, but not in inverted. It sounds strange to say was you to get the job.
No,
You
not
can't, can you?
you can't,
You
not
have to use
permitted.
the true subjunctive. So
In other words,
let's repeat that again. That's a bit tricky.
yep.
If you got to the job, if you got to the job, would you be prepared to move to the US?
Where are you to get to the job? Would you be prepared to move to the US? So the structure is where plus were you, the subject, plus to get the job, plus infinitive. That's a weird thing, isn't it,
It is.
listeners? Where plus the subject plus infinitive. Where are you to get the job? Let's do another second conditional.
Okay, can you throw one at me?
Okay. If you won the lottery, what would you buy?
Were you to win the lottery, what would you buy?
Yes, so we got where plus the subject, you plus infinitive to buy. Let's do another one. Let's go back. I'll do the inversion and you do it the normal way, so to speak. Okay?
Okay.
So you uninvert it, let's say.
Go for it.
Were I to offer you some chocolate, would you accept it?
If I offered you some chocolate, would you accept it? Of course I would.
So this time we change from the inversion back to the normal conditional with if. And what about a third conditional, Craig?
I've got one for you. Here's a third conditional. If I had known you were an alcoholic, I wouldn't have bought the wine. I'll repeat it. If I had known you were an alcoholic, I wouldn't have brought the wine.
So past perfect first. Had I known you were an alcoholic, I wouldn't have bought the wine. So past perfect, we put the auxiliary first, then the subject, then the past participle. Had I known.
Before we continue with this episode, Reza and I would like to talk about a service that we really like.
Yes, iTalki. Now, Craig, you've tried out the service recently.
Yes, I have. I
How's that
actually,
going?
it went very, very well. I went to the website and I connected with a teacher called Adriana, who teaches Spanish. She's from Argentina because I specifically wanted an Argentinian native speaker. And she lives in Italy, speaks very good English, although we actually spoke in Spanish. And I did a test lesson because iTalki, you can buy a 30-minute test lesson, which costs 50 iTalki credits, just to get an idea of the teacher. So 100 credits are about 9 euros, more or less. So it was about 4.5 euros just to see if Adriana and I liked each other and got on. And I was very, very happy with my first lesson with Adriana. We studied some past tenses. I improved some of my past tenses in Spanish, and I've arranged a lesson with her for next Sunday. So it was very, very easy. I went to iTalki, I signed up with my email address, and if you want to do the same and improve your English, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And iTalki are offering a 2-for-1 deal with Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. And if you buy 100 credits, they will give you another 100 credits free. Reza and I would like to thank iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Let's test you with one.
Okay.
If I hadn't. Negative. Ooh, what have I done? What have I done? I've thrown a spanner in the works. I've made things difficult. If I hadn't eaten so much, I wouldn't have diarrhea now. Sorry. That's not a conditional. That's a mixed condition. If I hadn't eaten so much, I wouldn't have suffered the diarrhea.
Had I not eaten so much, I wouldn't had suffered.
I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have suffered diarrhea.
If I hadn't eaten so much, I wouldn't have suffered diarrhea.
Had I not eaten so much, I wouldn't have suffered diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. So it's had plus the subject, and then not, and then the past participle, had I not. A note on negatives. You cannot say hadn't I. Uh-oh, not permitted.
No.
You have to say had I not suffered. Hadn't I? Uh-uh. You can't do it that way. You can say if I hadn't suffered, but you cannot begin with hadn't. You have to separate the had and the not if you use an inversion.
Let me throw a conditional at you. It could be any conditional. It could be first, second, or third. If you see my ex-girlfriend, please give her my best wishes.
Should you see my ex-girlfriend, please give her my best wishes.
Another one. If your boss found out, it would be a disaster.
Were your boss to find out, it would be a disaster.
Correct. If I had known she was going to be here, I wouldn't have come.
Had I known she would be here, I wouldn't have come.
Correct.
Can I throw one in at you, Craig?
Yep.
If I had known Mickey were here... Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. If I had known Mickey, and yes, I am talking about a famous animal, a rodent. If I had known Mickey were here, I would have invited Craig.
Had I known Mickey was here, I would have invited Craig.
Was here or were here, you can say, right? Okay.
Here's one for you, Reza. If you came back as an animal in the next life, which animal would you choose?
Were you to come back as an animal in the next life, what animal would you choose? Can I answer that question?
I think we've answered that on a previous podcast. And you said, do you remember, listeners, what Reza said, what animal he would come back as? An elephant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You too, both of us.
Or Mickey Mouse, I'd come back as.
Yeah, can you come back as a cartoon character?
I don't know. Sentences can also be inverted after so and such. For example, he was so nervous during the interview that he couldn't speak. So nervous was he during the interview that he couldn't speak.
Aha, uh-huh, so you inverted he was to was he. Okay.
Also, with such, the sentence would be such was his nervousness during the interview that he couldn't speak. So can I throw some so and such transformations at you, Reza?
Go ahead.
She was so happy that she couldn't stop smiling.
With so.
She was so happy that she couldn't stop smiling. Invert that with so.
So happy was she that she couldn't stop smiling.
Correct. And now with such?
Such was her happiness that she couldn't stop smiling.
Very good.
So goes with the adjective, but such goes with a noun. So happy, blah, 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 but such was her happiness.
Yeah. So with the adjective, such with the noun. Let's try one more. We were so surprised to hear about your wedding that we had to phone immediately to congratulate you.
So surprised were we to hear about your wedding that we had to phone immediately to congratulate you.
And such?
Such was our surprise, was it, to hear about your wedding that we had to phone you immediately.
Pepito was so depressed that he went to the pub and got drunk.
So depressed was Peter?
Pepito.
Oh, sorry, Pepito.
Or Peter.
Okay.
Let me repeat it. Pepito was so depressed that he went to the pub and got drunk.
Okay. So depressed was Pepito that he went to the pub and got drunk.
With such?
Such was Pepito's depression.
Ooh.
That he went to the pub to get drunk.
Excellent. One more. I was so ashamed that I couldn't show my face.
So ashamed was I that I couldn't show my face.
Yeah. Remember to invert the subject and the verb. So I was becomes was I. I was so ashamed was I that I couldn't show my face. And with such?
Such was my shame that I couldn't show my face.
So such with the noun.
I've got a few for you, Craig. Let's up the level a bit for the listeners. Put it a couple into the past, and without the verb to be, other verbs. So we're gonna have you fooling about with auxiliary verbs now.
Do your worst.
I ran so quickly that I nearly had a heart attack.
So quickly did I run that I nearly had a heart attack.
Okay, another one. She reads so well that she never makes a mistake. She reads so well that she never makes a mistake.
So good is her reading that she never makes a mistake.
Okay. Yeah, you changed it a bit, but yeah.
What were you thinking?
What you said, of course, is grammatically correct, but I was thinking, so well does she read.
Okay, so well does she read, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Your way is good as well, of course. What about this young man will be so successful that I wonder if he will become president? I'll repeat that. This young man will be so successful that I wonder if he will become president.
So successful will this young man be that I wonder if he'll become president.
Right.
That's good. Difficult. Do you have any more before we close?
No, that'll do.
Okay, and now it's your turn to practice your English. So we would like you to send us a voice message and practice your sentence inversions. Practice inverting some sentences and give us some examples of similar sentences. For example, never have I heard such a fantastic podcast. Remember, you can send your voice messages to us at the website inglespodcast.com and click on the speak pipe on the right hand side of the webpage. If you prefer to send an email with a comment or question, the email addresses are to me at craig@inglespodcast.com or to Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. And if you have a couple of minutes, please show us some iTunes love and go to iTunes, write us a review and give us some stars on iTunes. If you do that, this podcast will become more visible in iTunes and more people can find us. On next week's episode, greeting cards and what to write in greeting cards, Christmas cards, birthday cards, retirement cards, etc. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.